race can be invigorating, especially the races that make up the Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. For an owner, race day is filled with nerves and hopes that their horse will walk away a champion. For a trainer, race day is the culmination of months, if not years, of work preparing that horse. For a racehorse and their jockey, it means hours of dedication, heightened adrenaline, and no rest once the race begins. In 2006, an American thoroughbred, Barbaro, went into the Kentucky Derby undefeated. He'd won 5 races already and was the crowd's second choice to win. He won the Kentucky Derby by 6.5 lengths, the largest margin since 1946. Going into the second race of the Triple Crown, Barbaro had attracted enough attention to be the crowd favorite. Before the starting bell sounded, he broke from the gate, a false start. They reloaded Barbaro and his jockey. When the bell sounded, Barbaro broke away from the gate again.
Enough! Barbaro came away rather cleanly, and like now, and Garrett Gomez is intent on that lead. He sends him right from the beginning. And Sweet Northern Saint is going to run with him. Bernardini is away third. On the outside, Diabolic goes fourth. Barbaro, I believe he's being pulled up. Barbaro's being pulled up. An astonishing development here. Barbaro's being pulled up by Edgar Prado. He is out of the race and out of the Triple Crown. He appears to have injured his right rear leg. His right hind leg appears to have been substantially injured.
The crowd gasped and stood silent, wondering what had happened to the favorite Derby champion. In parliamentary procedure, a motion to reconsider allows us to bring back a matter that has already been voted on, even after the final gavel tap. Welcome to Reconsidered, a podcast allowing us time to look back at the experiences, relationships, and skills gained through the FFA in order to make the most of our future. The final tap of the gavel has sounded. Let's explore a motion to reconsider. I'm Adrian, former state FFA officer from Oklahoma, and this is Reconsidered. The racehorse, Barbaro, quickly fell behind in the Preakness after only 100 yards into the race. His jockey dismounted as the ambulance began to make its way to the track. Barbaro had broken his hind leg in more than 20 places. The horse hadn't been checked up on after his false start and likely had never had adequate time to heal from other previous injuries. As an impressive champion of the Kentucky Derby, Barbaro could have been one of the greats if only he had received the care and the time off he needed. How much time are we making to take care of ourselves? Do we need to take a break to be able to continue at the pace we are running? Fortunately for us, we are jockey, owner, and horse, in that we have full control over what we say yes to and what we say no to. We can overwhelm ourselves or take time to pour into ourselves. It's a matter of how we choose to approach the responsibilities and the time we have.
If we're running on empty, whether that be physically exhausted or emotionally empty, we don't have it to give.
This is Carrie Derner. She's a business owner, a mom, and also a certified trainer for a method called intentional energetic presence that is all about radical self-care and how that translates to the culture we create professionally and personally. She's a former state officer from Washington State, and Carrie is living her life with a remarkable intentional energetic presence. I had the chance to talk with her about what living a life being present means for her and for us. This is Carrie.
Well, I'm a resident of Lincoln, Nebraska, and have been now for almost 14 years with my husband, and I have 2 little boys, Reese and Beau, who are second graders and almost in preschool.
That's awesome. You and your husband own a company, right?
Yes, we do.
Yep. And you're both living and working out of your home and raising your 2 sons. How do you separate and draw that line between your personal and professional life?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There isn't a very strong line, and that feels completely okay to us. I've tried to think of why is that, and some of it might be that the people we work with are awesome people who I would choose to be around as friends, even if we weren't working together, or that I would truly enjoy my boys getting to know. Same thing goes for the type of work we do and the clients we work with. Our purpose is to help other companies increase their ability to do good in the world. And so that feels like a decent family cause as well. Where the line is drawn, I think for me, is if we are home as a family and we can't be, Seth or I, or both of us, cannot be present with each other or with our kids, then I know, like, you know, something has to give or some changes need to be made. Mm-hmm. So as long as we can still talk about work, as long as we can still be present with each other and enjoy each other for who we are and who our boys are, then I think it's a balanced enough, at least for the Derners. So.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that's taken probably a little bit of time even to just figure out what that balance looks like. I know for lots of college students and, you know, seniors in high school, when they're making that transition from being in high school and being with their families a lot more often to being kind of on their own, it gets really challenging to figure out how to balance your obligations with school and with other organizations that you're a part of, with taking care of yourself. But it's also one of those things that's so important to learn how to do. Why do you think self-care is important at all in the first place?
Yeah, great question. I think it's important because, you know, there's a lot of phrases like you can't give what you don't have. And so if we're running on empty, whether that be physically exhausted or emotionally empty, we don't have it to give. And so at best, we have a neutral impact. And at worst, we're sucking energy and positive vibes from other people.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. So you mentioned being present with your family. What does that look like for you? How do you do that successfully?
Yeah, so everyone knows, I think you can think about it, you know when someone's present with you, right? And maybe even it's easier to say, like, you know when someone's not present. So if I'm sitting having coffee with you, Adrian, and I'm, you know, tootling through my phone and sending text messages and, you know, there but not there, kind of, that's not present. So to be present with my boys, and this does take work, you know, it's being physically present, there, listening, making eye contact, not that B-roll in the back of your head of what's to do and what needs to be done. And, or if you're with a friend, like questions you want to be talking about, kind of silencing those things so that you can just really be there. And that's something takes constant practice for us. And I'm talking about it just in a personal light, but professionally, I had the opportunity to learn a little bit about a method that focuses kind of on being present, which has really helped. And that method is called the IEP method. IEP stands for Intentional Energetic Presence. Mm. We happened along that as a company by accident, but in a group of kind of a networking group of some value-based businesses that we have some mentors in, and they're the founder and author of the work. Her name's Denise Kavanaugh. We do a little bit of a workshop, and our business partners, we just thought, hey, this is stuff people don't usually talk about, but it's really real. Like, it really matters. You don't hear this out in the real world. So we dug into it from there, and company-wide, we have implemented it. It's built into our language and into our values, and there isn't really a line it serves between professional and personal for us. So that's where that's coming from.
That's awesome. It's a happy little accident to stumble upon. If you were to kind of summarize the huge takeaways from IEP, what would you say are like the main points of it?
Well, if I were to pick three, I would choose first that our presence is our impact.
we know that 93% of the impact we have in this world and on others comes simply from the way we show up and not in what we say and what we do. You are having impact at all times. You have impact via your text messages. You have impact with the friends that you stop and chat with between class. You have a tremendous impact on your family when you call or when you show up and head home for Christmas break. The second being that presence, we have the ability to adjust it in the moment. There are simple steps that I can take to almost instantly snap out of a bad mood or bring myself up to where I need to be. We don't have to be victims to our moods or the off-putting like vibes of others. In the IEP method, this is referred to as a reboot. And then the third thing I'd say is that regular self-care is what allows us to show up at our best. So taking care of ourselves physically and emotionally, that's what keeps our tank full and makes it easier to show up when things don't go quite as expected.
You've talked about this rebooting thing. Can you just walk me through what that means?
So normally when we hear the term reboot, we're probably thinking of an electronic device. And it's similar. When I reboot my laptop, I am giving it a chance to shut down the programs that are running in the background that aren't currently useful to what it's doing. I might also be giving it a chance to update its software so that it's got the most current versions and operates as smooth as possible when it restarts. So as humans, we can reboot too. It's checking in with our brains to see how are we doing right now and what are those programs that are running in the back of my head that should be shut down right now because they're not useful to my current situation. It's also a chance for us to update our software. We're much faster at rebooting than a computer. So anyone can reboot at any given time. And there's five very simple steps. So the first is just to notice. Notice where you're at. How are you feeling? How are other people experiencing you right now? And the second is to ask yourself, okay, is how I'm showing up and is how people are experiencing me right now the most useful it can be for my given situation? Or do I need to show up differently? And if so, what does that look like? What does that sound like? How do I feel? And knowing the answers to those questions take us to the next step, which is take care. So it's asking yourself, what do I need to do to show up that way? There's pieces that are small and in the moment, like a deep breath, sitting up straight in your chair, grabbing a drink of water, cleaning up the desk space in front of you. And then there's some that we can't take care of right now, but we can make an agreement with our minds and bodies to say, you know what, body, tonight I will get sleep, or I will call and have that difficult conversation. But for right now, I will set it aside. Four is just to step in. You take a breath and you mentally take a step forward into what it is you envisioned of how you need to show up. And then step five is wash and repeat. So we're 10 minutes down the road or two, and I have become distracted. I just notice, where am I? Where do I need to be? What do I need to do? All right. Step in, become it, wash and repeat. You get the picture.
In my mind, it's really, really easy to think about how the IEP method could be applied to just like the day-to-day life and how I show up with my family and with my friends and in my classes. In terms of a professional life, for young people that are just now hearing about this, what are some of those, I guess, the advice that you would give to a young person about IEP in a professional sense?
Yeah, I would say that as humans, no matter who we are, we want to be seen and heard, and we're built for community. We are built to be social beings. Mm-hmm. And that that crosses boundaries everywhere, personal, professional. If you think about that as you're moving into looking at a professional career, recognizing that the people that you are interviewing with are human, the people that you work with are human, and also being intentional. It's great. You know, we learned how to set goals for years and years. It's okay to be intentional about our day, or it's okay to be intentional about the interview or phone call I have coming up. I can sit down ahead of time, and that's you'll see that in the method too. If like, gosh, what do I want the outcome of this to be? And if that's the outcome, then how do I have to show up? Like, what does my presence have to look like for that to happen? So I think starting with those intentions as you approach job hunting, as you approach the interview process, and then as you approach your professional life day to day, how are you showing up and how do you help yourself show up, and mm-hmm. what's your intention?
It really does come down to intention and to that personal perspective of approaching whatever scenario it is. I think that's awesome. Just that idea of thinking about it kind of in like a 10 minutes at a time kind of setting. One of my friends always says that whenever she gets really stressed, it's just, we're going to take it 10 minutes at a time and focus on what's happening right now and in the next 10 minutes.
It is impossible for us to stay present for very long. It's a total wash and repeat. And it says that in the book. I can lose presence 10 times in 15 minutes, but it's okay. As long as I stop and I recognize it and, you know, take a breath and get back to it, that's the best we can do. I love that 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it works well. It's a good thing to like write on your wall or your mirror and leave it there just as a reminder of like, hey, take a deep breath. It's all going to work out.
Yeah.
If you had to give one piece of advice for students who are transitioning out of state office, what would that be?
I had a really interesting, I don't think I thought it'd be such a big transition, which was obviously an underestimate on my part from, you know, traveling just about every day of the year and to going back to kind of a quiet college life. And I remember actually not wanting to be a part of anything for a while, just kind of enjoying that quiet time and also building a lot of guilt up in my head about that. The longer I wasn't, you know, I'd always been super involved. I've always been doing this and that. And now all of a sudden I wasn't. And then I kind of got scared because I didn't even really want to be. Mm-hmm. And so it goes back to giving yourself permission. What do I need right now? And hey, maybe that was me for a long time. And at this point in life, that's just not serving me as well. So, you know, so what is going to serve me? Maybe this is a point in time where I need that. And maybe that's exactly opposite for someone else coming out of state office. Maybe what's critical is they go out and find kind of their next community. That kind of fills a little bit of void of where state office left off. It's about permission to ask yourself the questions, to take care of yourself without guilt, and see where it goes.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, I love this method. This sounds so cool. What was that book name again?
Yeah, the name of the book is Contagious Culture, and it's written by Anise Kavanaugh. She has a whole body of work online, some workshops for it, and I'm working currently towards some certification and just being able to share that with some other groups. And I think that there are some other books kind of coming out shortly that focus on the same stuff, but it'd be a top read for me. In fact, as I went through the original training, I thought to myself, man, I wish I had this as a state officer. I wish this would have been part of my kickoff process. Mm-hmm. It's out there. It's easy to access.
Thanks so much for sharing all of it with us today and just running through what all of that looks like in your life, but also in our lives at this kind of weird limbo stage of being transitioning from being a high schooler to being an adult, and all of the responsibility that comes with that. But I really appreciate you taking the time to share all of this with us.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian.
I loved how Carrie described the power of truly being intentional and present with the people in our lives, whether that be at home or in class or at work. How can we continue improving this balance that we have between our professional responsibilities and our personal lives? Are we taking a break when we really need to? Are you feeling burnout and need to focus in on what makes you happy? Do you need to prioritize your responsibilities? Do you need to set aside some personal time? Do you need to set up a more organized work schedule? There will always be more that we can be working on in a job or a leadership role, but it is necessary that we organize our time and priorities so that we can have adequate time to decompress and spend time with people we love. Going nonstop all the time and only taking a break when you feel like your heart is literally going to explode means you should have taken a break a while back. Take some time to reflect on how you can better care for yourself and the people around you. The racehorse Barbaro had the potential to go down as a legendary Triple Crown winner, but he fell short because of an injury that could have been avoided with time and care. You'll find that working toward a healthy balance of your professional and personal life will lead to a better environment in both. Don't forget, you also can check out additional State Officer Reconsidered resources online or talk to your state staff to gain a new perspective on how to use the skills we gained during our state officer experience. Thank you so much for listening in today. We hope to have you back next time as we keep reconsidering what our state officer experience can do for us in the years to come. Consider that reconsidered.